Welcome. This is the Fly Fishing Journeys podcast with host Rob Giannino, where we have great conversation with really awesome experts from within the fly fishing community. You see, the fly fishing lifestyle is a journey, and we're glad you're on this journey with us. Check out flyfishingjourneys.com for more podcasts, journal-style blog posts, and a link to our social media community. And please subscribe on your favorite podcast player. Here's your host, Rob Giannino.
Thanks, Josh. So the next few podcasts are going to be a little bit different. I was thrilled to get down to Orlando for the combination ICAST and International Fly Tackle Dealer Show, also known as IFTD. It was really impressive and super fun. Talk about a kid in a candy store. Basically, the entire fishing industry was all under one roof. I was able to look at and touch all the new fishing products hitting the market, as well as build and strengthen relationships with industry professionals. I spent quite a bit of time at the show doing shorter podcasts with a few exhibitors and friends. We're going to blend these conversations into three shows, day one, day two, and day three at IFTD. They're trade show conversations, so you'll hear more background noise than normal and people saying hello to the guests mid-conversation, but that's all part of the fun. We started day one having a roundtable conversation with Jeff Patterson of Able Reels and Bart Larmouth of Ross Reels. We talked about the sweet, painted, and anodized finishes of the Able and the quality workmanship of the Ross and how putting the companies together under one roof has made both companies and products better. Then we were excited to get a few minutes with Scott Hunter of VitaVu. We talked about how the company got started, the magnificent growth, the emergence of sling packs, and the environmentally sound relationship with Watermaster Rafts. Then I sat down with Dave McKenna of Douglas Outdoors. We talked about the innovative yet value-minded rod and reel designs, as well as their sister company, the Douglas Salmon Run, or known as the DSR, on the Salmon River in New York. I finished the day enjoying my time getting to know Tom Logan, the chairman of the board of Fly Fishers International. It's a fantastic organization that I'm proud to be a member of. FFI is doing some excellent work in many areas, including conservation, education, and protection of fishing opportunities. FFI sponsors the Learning Center area of the Fly Fishing Show. Speaking of the Fly Fishing Show, our day one at IFTD podcast comes up next after a short 30-second announcement from the Fly Fishing Show.
The Fly Fishing Show produces the world's largest consumer fly fishing events. The show has hundreds of exhibitors on the show floor and dozens of free seminars, fly tying demos, and programs. This is the only place you can get your hands on nearly every fly fishing product in the world at the same time as booking the next fly fishing location on your bucket list. Talk to the pros and test gear on our casting ponds. Get more information about the show's location and schedule at flyfishingshow.com. The Fly Fishing Show, where fly fishing is not part of the show. It is the show.
All right, here I am, Rob. We are live at IFTD. We're in Orlando for the 2018 trade show. I am very fortunate now to sit with Jeff Patterson of Able Reels, as well as Bart Larmouth from Ross Reels. And guys, thank you for taking a few minutes to talk to us about the podcast.
No, you're welcome.
Our pleasure.
Thanks for asking.
Tell me a little bit about Able Reels, and first, Jeff, what makes Able different and unique than like another reel?
Well, you know, there's lots of great reels out there. Able Reels was founded back in 1988. We've always made all of our own parts ourselves. We don't subcontract out different things where we're counting on other people's machine parts to happen. So, you know, when you make it yourself, you can count on the reliability, you can count on the specs. We design them ourselves. You know, there's not really any outside work. So that kind of makes us unique in that way. And of course, we're innovative as well. And over that time period, you better keep coming up with new products or you're gonna kind of fade away. So. That's kind of our signature. The anodizing that we do as well is very unique to the industry. We do a lot of hand-painted and anodized graphics. I don't think you'll see anything else like that out there in the industry. And that's the foundation, at least, of Able Reels.
Sure. I want to talk about that anodizing because that, I think, really separates you guys from really all other reels in the marketplace. But if I want to bring in Bart here, what makes Ross Reels unique? Tell us a little bit about Ross.
Well, Ross Reels has been around since 1973. We are
you've kind of been known as the blue collar reel as far as getting a quality American made product at a reasonable price. And that really tradition's continued all the way since 1973 when Ross Houck started it in Etna, California, moved us to Colorado, and now even into today's market. Now we're with Able Reels, and to use kind of a car analogy, you see, we always joke that Able is the Lexus and we're the Toyota.
Okay.
You know, something, even though they're made overseas, but the nice quality brand that complement each other rather nicely as far as the build quality is there, the tolerances are there. We machine in ways that other companies can't even do, and that allows us to create really unique products at just a great price.
Tell us a little bit about your drag system. I mean, is there anything unique about the drag that would be ideal for this fishing environment or this situation?
Man, we actually have multiple drag systems for multiple environments. That's a great question. I'll talk a little bit about kind of our technology, which at this point we're using a carbon fluoropolymer, say that five times fast, drag system against stainless steel. It's a multi-disc system that's stacked up. It creates a ton of drag pressure in a very small space, so we can reduce weight, keep the pressure down, keep a lot of pressure in there, but not have a big hulking reel.
Sure.
And it makes for great salt water. We've got lots of GTs landed on this system, as well as trout. You know, it's super, super adjustable, so it's nice and light for even the finest tipping.
Thank you for that. And again, Jeff, going back on your anodized process, I really think when you see an Able reel, you obviously know it's an Able because of that amazing finish. Tell us about the different finish options and how that process works. And
a lot of people don't realize that we are actually hand painting these reels.
Wow.
It sounds kind of like a little cliche, but these are done with a paintbrush and they're done individually. And some of these designs that we do actually take 14 hours to accomplish. One person, 2 days of work to make one reel, or a plier or a nipper or whatever it may be. But we also anodize them too, so it's not just a paint that's going to chip or fade. It's an anodization process that we've figured out to incorporate the hand painting as well. So, you know, it puts a finish on it. It's not going to chip or fade over time. And it does kind of make the product unique. You know, there's a lot of things going on between Able and Ross reels behind the scenes. You know, a lot of these reels are made on the same machines. Able just takes it to the next level, and that's on purpose when it comes to the actual anodizing. And it does drive the price a little bit, but it also makes something a unique item, a one of a kind in some ways for each product because they're done by hand.
An Able reel is like one of those things where you see it, it's like, that is something that I want. You know, you need a reel to go fishing, right? And there's a lot of reels that you can take to go fishing, but when you look at the beauty of an Able reel, that hand painting and that finish, I mean, that is definitely something that I think many people want to put in their, you know, their equipment list.
It's definitely aspirational in that case. And, you know, a lot of times you see, like, personally, my first reel was a Ross reel back in the day,
okay,
like 18 years ago. That's why I say, see these brown trout reels from Able, like these crazy graphics on there. And to Jeff's point, even though it's put on with a paintbrush, it's anodized. It's in the metal. It's not paint on top. It's in the metal itself. That's our proprietary process. And, you know, I'd see that and go, gosh, that's what I want. And fortunately, now I'm in a place where, yes, I own several Able reels. Also, quite spoiled to work for the company, of course. But that, you're spot on. It's you start with this, and then that's the next level.
Before we finish, can you just talk about the partnership and the relationship between Able and Ross and how that came
sure.
to be? And
sure. So Able Reels, the ownership of Able Reels purchased Ross Reels about 4 years ago. We've kind of combined a lot of things, including our own factory. So Able has always been in Camarillo, California. About 2 years ago, we relocated the machine shop out to Montrose, Colorado, where Ross Reels has been. And now we're actually in the process of building a brand new factory in Montrose for both brands. So while we kind of got Able sandwiched into the old Ross facility, it's with the mindset that we're building a brand new factory that's 41,000 square feet, twice as big as our current factory now.
Wow.
And we're going to be in that factory by the end of the year.
That's amazing. Well, guys, thanks for taking a few minutes here at IFTD. I know you got a lot of people that are looking to talk with you. So I appreciate you taking a few minutes to talk to Fly Fishing Journeys, and we'll do it again on a longer basis.
Sounds why we're here, man. Thank you. Thanks for coming over.
All right, thanks, guys. We're here at IFTD, and I'm very fortunate to be sitting with Scott here with VitaVu. Scott, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to talk with us on the podcast.
No doubt, Rob, for sure. I'm excited.
You know, you've always been great to Fly Fishing Journeys. I know we've had some great conversations, and you've been very helpful, so I appreciate that.
We do it again.
Just excited to have you here at IFTD. There's a lot going on with your company, and also excited that
Massachusetts guy right out of Leominster, Mass.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. So we started up the shop. I went to Babson College in Babson Park, just outside of Boston, and kind of launched the business out of that. And over the course of the next 5 or 6 years, I was developing the business, quite frankly, out of my basement. Over the past, 2 years, we've really had some nice opportunities to grow. We found this wonderful workshop space in Leominster. It used to be old piano mill. They made, it was a J.G. Smith piano company. They made cabinets for Steinways and all kinds of stuff. So a lot of cool history in there. And we were able to retrofit it, clean it up, and make it ours. And so it's been this really neat space to have everybody under one roof, to be able to hire aggressively and bring everybody in and grow our team and grow our capacity and our capabilities has been really nice.
It's an unbelievable brand, and as you know, we actually met through our great friends.
Rich at Watermaster.
Rich and Jeremy doing an amazing work there with the boats.
They are.
My Watermaster.
I got one as a wedding present from my wife, so I understand all too well. Yeah,
that's a great wedding present. You got a great wife.
Yeah, I do. I really do. She's been special, so can't beat that.
And you're actually off to Cuba?
I am, yeah. No, I leave the day after the show. I have an official product testing mission that I have to engage
in. Oh, yes.
Yes, it's very, very scientific.
I know all about those product testing missions, journals that I have to write, blogs and podcasts.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's going to be exciting. It's good to get away a little bit, to get down with Avalon and be able to experience, the Cayo Cruz and have a good time down there. I'm excited.
Well, I am looking for a combination Fly Fishing Journeys Vitavoo blog post on this Cuba trip. Is that
a
deal?
We'll have to share some stories for sure.
Okay, great. Well, let's talk about the product line. Now, you're here at IFTD. What are some of the things that you look to get accomplished here at the show?
Yeah, every year we come in with a very specific goal in mind. And this year, we're taking a big step forward with retailers and a big step forward with dealers. So we're obviously seeking new dealers and new accounts there to be able to extend our brand and be able to extend our reach, to more folks. I think what we found just over the past 9 years of work is that when people have a chance to touch our gear firsthand, to feel the fabrics, to see how it fits, to put it on and try it and get the sense of all the things that have made Vitavoo Vitavoo, it really resonates. And to be able to take that next step now because we've got the capacity to do so, it's the right time.
Tell me about the product line. You've got the sling packs. Let's just talk about those.
Yeah, so we started with sling packs, back in the beginning. And I'm a Wyoming trout bum originally. I had, fished a ton of different gear and a lot of the stuff that frankly just frustrated me. I mean, it was all good. Everything had a great point to it, but there were things that just really bugged me. I hated having weight on my casting shoulder. I hate having stuff on my front that I could tangle my line up in. And inevitably, no matter whether I had a third strap or not, I still had a pack that slipped around on me. And I tried the fanny pack thing or the waist pack, whatever you want to call it, lumbar packs. I tried day packs that would ride high and then they'd rub my armpits. And so it got frustrating to me that there was all this stuff happening, but it was good, but it just wasn't hitting the mark for me. So I took a lot of those frustrations and rolled them into the stuff that we do now. And so we build a line of sling packs that are clean on your chest, that keep all the weight off your casting shoulder, and balance better than any other sling in the market, the way that we balance the weight dynamics, so it stays put better. Now, let's be fair, it's not a perfect system. I don't think there's ever going to be one, but it's a heck of a lot closer to it as far as I'm concerned. We've had a lot of folks that walk into the booths of the shows or otherwise, oh, I don't do sling packs, that's not for me. Oh, no, I'm a vest guy, or oh, I'm a chest pack guy. And inevitably, they start trying stuff on and you just see the light bulbs turning on. So it's kind of neat to be able to see those guys come back, so to speak.
And I just think just to be able to shift that thing around, have everything in front of you and then shift it back is just the cleanest way to go.
Absolutely.
And to not have that, because to have all that stuff in a vest, and nothing against a vest, a lot
certainly
of people are vest guys, but to have all that stuff weighing your front down and then...
And they're hot, and cumbersome, and it's just stuff to fight around, and there's no point in doing that. Like I said, I like to feel like I'm not wearing anything almost when I'm on the water, so it's nice to be able to keep that front clean.
And me being a media guy, it's always the pictures, right? Yeah, it's always about getting a photo of that fish. So I think the slings actually work out really well with the photos, too.
Oh, no doubt. They definitely do.
Let's talk about the materials here, because, again, we connected through Watermaster. Tell us about your relationship with Watermaster and then your materials.
All of our fabrics are sourced either domestically or in a way that we can do something ethically. So all of our core fabrics are corduras, American woven corduras. So they're produced in Rhode Island or Connecticut or out in California, and we bring all those in. So we use 1,000 in-ear military grade cordura as our primary outer. We use a 500 denier cordura for our lining. So it's already 80 denier better than pack cloth that you'll see on other bags, just in the lining they use. And they've got their waterproofing supplied, and they've been solid for us, and they work really, really well. And they're certainly a big part of what we still do. But this last year, Rich and I, you know, finally made good on years of talks and found a way where we could partner together. Basically what we did is we took remnants left over from them when they finish up boat builds, and we've been able to find a way to use those remnants and turn them into something special. So stuff that would have otherwise ended up in the landfill is now being built into something you can treasure.
That's awesome, and that's a huge push right now, sustainability.
Oh, absolutely.
And keeping things as clean as possible for the environment.
And in a way that allows us to show light on another brand that's doing the same kind of stuff we are. I mean, hand building to order is a challenging game.
Right.
And working with fabrics and building a product that really matters is tough. But let's be fair, Rich is doing a great job up there, and his crew, Jeremy, like you say, and certainly my crew have done a fantastic job as well. So it was just a no-brainer partnership to be able to pull that collaboration together and do. And so we've taken that a step further this year. So we launched with just the Beast. And then as time went on, we extended that to be able to carry forward and add to other products in the line as we started to figure out how to better utilize the materials. So we've effectively gotten to a point now where we're saving about 90% of the material that is shared from Watermaster.
Wow.
So cut that waste significantly. And we're going to continue to try and find ways to cut it even further. But quite frankly, I mean, we're using it as a backer in our arc accessories now. We're using it in license holders. I mean, we're using as much as we possibly can to make it right.
Well, that's awesome. I want to give our listeners just a way to get a hold of you guys. They can buy online and buy with your dealers, or how do you?
Yeah, absolutely. So we do have a dealer network, and there's a list of those on our website. Our website's vedevu.com. It's spelled V-E-D. So V as in Victor, E as in Edward, D as in David, A as in Alpha, V as in Victor, O-O. So it seems like Vedevu or Vedevu. It's Vedevu is how it's said, but that's how you get to our site. Certainly, we can also build the order, so if customers want to buy something direct through us, they certainly can if there's not a dealer in their neck of the woods.
Scott, thank you so much for being with us on the podcast, and
my
have
pleasure.
A great show.
Yeah, no doubt. Appreciate it much.
And here we are live at the IFTD show. We're here with Douglas Outdoors. I'm very fortunate enough to visit with Dave McKenna, who is a
national sales manager with Douglas Outdoors.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about Douglas Outdoors?
Yeah, so the family was started by the Barclay family in upstate New York, and they've got a strong background in the fishing industry. They've had a very popular property, the Douglaston Salmon Run, in their family for over 10 generations. So over the years, they've decided they really wanted to get more into the industry and more involved on the equipment side. And the company was started about 5-6 years ago and really come a long way. With rod development, we've introduced some incredible series to the industry over the last few years here, and this is our fifth year at ICAST. Really made a big name for ourselves just through building rods that people can afford that have an exceptional value to them.
Okay, great, Dave. That's actually really helpful for us to know a little bit about the company. Now, I actually just got back from the DSR.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
Yeah.
How was it?
It was a blast. We had a great time.
We had an excellent salmon run, one of the best they've had in over 10 years up there. It was really a great time up there for the king salmon, the coho. Steelhead had a phenomenal run. And we've been very fortunate that the Atlantic salmon have been making a really good comeback. So that's become more of a year-round fishery up there for us, too.
What a beautiful area, though, the DSR. I mean, you hear about the Salmon River. Mm-hmm. It's just epic, the size, the run. You do hear a little bit about the crowds up in some of the stretches. But what I think the Douglaston Salmon Run can provide is a little bit more quaintness and quietness. Mm-hmm. You can kind of get away from the crowds a little bit. You have to pay a little bit.
Sure.
But at least you can know, and not a lot of money.
It depends on what time of year you go.
Yeah.
If you go now in the spring for maybe $15-$20.
Yeah. It was short money, but it's just beautiful there. So mm-hmm. I know you guys are connected, the two companies.
Yeah, so a few years ago they got into the equipment side of things, and the family owns both businesses, but we've been fortunate to bring on Fred Cantow, who's really one of the best rod designers in the world, both on the spin cast side and on the fly fishing side. And we've been able to win some great awards. You know, our 5-weight DXF rods won the Yellowstone Angler Shootout for best mid-price rod series 3 years in a row. And last year, we were very fortunate. Our newest series, the Sky, won best 6-weight in the industry overall. and the DXF1 best mid-price 6-weight. So we're getting a lot of recognition. A lot of people are starting out with our entry-level rods and working their way up and realizing we've got some really unique specialty rods too, like our upstream rods. We make the lightest rod in the industry. So people are into backpacking or small water finesse fishing. We've got a really unique rod series for them. And then all of our longer nymphing rods have gained a lot of popularity in that community too. And, you know, we work directly through fly shops and tackle shops for our sales and, you know, mainly through their guides. People are finding out how great these rods are a lot of times when they go out fishing with a guide or talk to somebody at the shop who personally uses the rod, and they get that personal recommendation, and it makes a big difference once they put the rod in their hand, you know, to experience the way an upstream cast or a sky rod cast is really unique. And a lot of our customers now, it's kind of fun to see, you know, from going to the fly fishing expos and shows, guys are on their second, their third rod from us, and they're bringing their best friend or their son or daughter over to get their first Douglas rod, and it's a lot of fun. We're gaining a lot of momentum that way.
That's one of the things I like to talk to about manufacturers, is a unique selling position. What makes your rod or your shoes or your reel different than another company's? Is that what you would say would be a unique selling position for Douglas? Is that the way it casts? It's a unique casting rod?
Yeah, the rods, they have a unique feel to them, but the rods that are designed to fish very well. You know, we're all fishermen ourselves, and Fred builds these rods with value in mind, so that somebody that is just getting into the sport, we know they have a huge investment ahead of them, but they can still get a top performing rod with a lifetime warranty for $250 that I've been told today is cast better than some of the $800 rods that people have tried out. So it's really bringing the value back to the angler.
That's awesome. And you know, like you say, you get new people coming in, or you get a dad with two kids or three kids. He wants to get them all set up. Maybe you can't start them all at a $700
No, there's no need to either. You know, especially when you've got waders and flies and boxes
right.
and all the other gear and trips to pay for. And you know, we've got rods that somebody going on an expensive trip can afford a second rod or a backup rod and have a lifetime warranty on it.
And I've read that there's going to be more manufacturing up in that upstate New York area. You have some there now, and you're looking to build a bigger plant?
So that's been in the works, and that's really part of the company's, the family's goal with Douglas Outdoors. We manufacture our reels up there. Our Argus series of reels are all bench-made in upstate New York now. And we're, you know, eventually going to be expanding into rods up there, which is part of the family's mission with the company, is to bring jobs up to that area.
That's great.
As well. So that's those things are all definitely in the works, and expansion is in the works there. So
you get the rod line. What are some of the different style rods that you make?
Really a unique variety of rods. All of our rod series are very comprehensive. So our LRS rods are going to be a 3-weight through 12-weight with longer two-handed rods. Our 6 through 10-weight LRS switch rod is a really great value series rod where you can get into it for $150 to go salmon or steelhead fishing. The DXF series is going to have your nymphing rods as well as trout switch rods, the 4, 5, and 6-weight. Trout switch from DXF won best mid-price value point for trout switch rods from the Yellowstone Angler, as well as saltwater rods and all the 10, 11-foot competition style nymphing rods. So the rod series really covers any type of fly fishing. That, you know, any of the Douglas rod series can cover anything, really, from heavy saltwater to light nymphing.
And then you have some reels.
Yep. Yeah, we have our Nexus reels and our Argus series. So the Argus is a reel series that really matches a traditional click-check reel. These are bench-made in upstate New York, all individually laser-serialized. Really one of the highest quality, heirloom quality traditional reels on the market now that you can find. And we've got our Nexus reels, which are a sealed drag, a lightweight aluminum reel with a carbon fiber disc drag, and we've got those from a 3-weight through an 8-weight.
And I understand you're a guide as well?
I do a lot of more hosting trips.
Okay.
One of my favorite things to do is introduce people to saltwater fishing.
Okay.
And I've been fortunate to bring groups down to Flyfish Guanaja in Honduras for the last few years, and expanded some more adventurous heli salt fishing down there.
No kidding.
And also down to Belize for tarpon and permit. But my favorite thing in the world is the permit fishing down in that part of the world.
You were showing me some of those pictures. They look amazing.
We've been fortunate this year. Both the groups I've been fishing with down in Belize and Honduras have gotten some gorgeous fish of a lifetime. And some anglers that I've been with have been fortunate to share some of the best fish that they'll ever catch. So
Well, Dave, thank you so much for sharing this information about Douglas Outdoors. I'm glad our listeners got to know more about your products and your gear. And so how can our listeners find out more? Can they shop online? Can they use a dealer?
Well, they can find a dealer near them right through our website on our dealer locator. We only sell through fly shops and tackle shops.
Okay.
So they can find the dealer that way. They can go onto our Facebook or Instagram, which is Douglas Outdoors, and get to know a little bit more about us that way.
And the web address again was?
DouglasOutdoors.com.
DouglasOutdoors.com. Thank you so much. It's been great having you here.
Thanks a lot. It was great talking to you.
So we are here at IFTD. I have the pleasure of sitting down with the chairman of the board of the Fly Fishers International, Tom Logan. Tom, thanks for being on the Fly Fishing Journeys podcast.
Well, thank you very much. Good to be here.
It's been a great show so far. So this is a little different show than maybe the consumer shows, the fly fishing show.
Yes, they are. This is a show that centers around industry. And of course, industry is very important to us. They support us. And of course, our members would be hard pressed fly fish without fly rods. So we'd like to visit with our industry partners.
Tom, can you give us the mission statement of Fly Fishers International?
Yes. Fly Fishers International is a global organization that's dedicated to the support, enhancement, and preservation of fly fishing opportunities around the world for our members and the fly fishing community. And we do this primarily through the conservation work we do and our educational activities.
That's fantastic. And I know Burr Tupper up in the Northeast.
He's on our board of directors, but he also is council president in the Northeast.
Fantastic guy. He's always been great to Fly Fishing Journeys and is always so pleasant we talk. He's been very supportive of us at the shows. We do a lot of Northeast shows. And so Burr and then Ron Sower as well. So
right.
I'm a proud member of Fly Fishers International. Obviously a great organization. What would you say is the main benefit for a member to become a member of Fly Fishers International?
Well, to begin with, we're the only organization that works to preserve fly fishing opportunities. So the first benefit of being a member is to support an organization that's out there speaking on behalf of public lands, waters of the United States, the places where the fish we fish for live and are dependent. And so, you know, when we say we're preserving opportunities to fly fish, that's exactly what we do for benefit of all of our members.
Fantastic. And what would be like an example of a project that Fly Fishers International would be working on?
Well, we work in a number of areas in the conservation arena. Of course, we're monitoring some of the major activities that are going on in the United States that affect rules, regulations, new legislation that protects public lands and waters. And we partner with over 5,500 other conservation organizations and organizations of sportsmen who enjoy the outdoors, and we collectively comment on behalf of millions of outdoors persons on behalf of protecting these lands and thus the opportunity to use those lands and waters for the things we enjoy doing.
So somebody could become a member at any one of the fishing shows, right? You're here at the trade show in Orlando, and then you're at pretty much all of the fly fishing shows.
Yes, we
all
are.
All seven?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yes,
from January on through March. So starting in Denver and going all the way through Lancaster, Pennsylvania, with the fly fishing shows. Now, you guys actually sponsor the learning center at the shows.
That's correct. As I said, you know, the two important elements of what we do are conservation education. We really pride ourselves on the educational work we do, the educational materials we pull together on all aspects of fly fishing. We do that under the auspices of our learning center. And when we're at the fly fishing shows, the seven shows, we actually are there as the learning center.
Right.
Not just speaking on behalf of conservation, but also we're teaching fly fishing, we're teaching casting, and talk to people about the organization and why they should be a member.
That's fantastic. And I know the fly fishing show just really appreciates that you guys are sponsoring that Fly Fishing Learning Center at the shows. Tell us a little bit about the Learning Center at the shows. What does that look like? What can somebody who's a new fly fisherman or fly fisher woman learn at the Learning Center of a show?
Well, at the shows, we We have members who are there actually tying flies and have extra materials there for anyone that wants to sit down and learn to tie with us.
So you could teach
or
somebody.
Learn a new technique there.
Right.
We have the tools there to actually do that. We have fly rods ready, and there's always space there where we can take a person aside and say, this is the way you cast a fly rod. These are the fundamentals. If you'll do these things, you can learn to cast a fly rod and enjoy the sport of fly fishing. Now, that's what we do there, but you know, the big part of the learning center is all of the education materials that we pull together from some of our best instructors in casting, fly tying, fly fishing application, conservation, and also leadership activities. And we develop the modules that would be text, could be PowerPoints, could be videos that then can be downloaded and used by anybody in the organization at council and club levels to teach the same things that we teach every summer at our fly fishing fair.
Tell me a little bit about some of the activities that happen throughout the year. I know there's a big show that you guys host. Is it in Idaho?
This year it will be in Idaho, Boise, Idaho. Last year it was in Livingston. Next year it probably is going to be in Livingston. So we tend to
move it around.
It's all dependent on, you know, where we find the facilities, but more importantly, where we have local volunteers to help us put the programs together. But
so that's like a hosted Fly Fishers International show.
That's correct.
Tell me about the show.
Well, the show has traditionally been our annual event where we invite our members to come, sit in on classes on casting and tying and so forth. We always have some of our best tiers tying throughout the show, and they're there to share the techniques they use, the flies that they tie, with people who want to just sit down and watch and ask them questions and learn something that they can take home and use.
Sure.
We typically have vendors there, but then we have our various organizational meetings of our board, our different committees like our fly tying group and casting board of governors, our educational committees, our conservation committee, and so forth.
So it's a big organizational program as well as the show itself for the consumers and the members.
Yeah, and we're the way we're developing these, especially now that we're spending more time at shows like today here at ICAST and the 7 fly fishing shows around the country, we're focusing more and more on that being an educational venue for our members that want to attend and take something home that they can share with members of their councils and clubs.
Now, where would you say the home base of FFI is located?
Well, our headquarters is in Livingston, Montana.
Okay. And then you have districts broken up into around the country. You have like the Northeast. What are the districts?
We're organized into 17 councils.
Okay.
From Florida to Alaska. Some of the councils are comprised of one state, like Florida is a council in of itself. Some of the other councils are multi-states, but we have 17 councils, and then each council has a board that's responsible for planning activities within the council on behalf of the club. So we have the international organization with international members, and then within the United States we have 17 councils, and then within those councils we also have clubs.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad I'm a member of Fly Fishers International. Thank you, Tom, for being on the Fly Fishing Journeys podcast. If somebody wanted more information or wanted to sign up to become a member before January show, where would they go online?
The thing to do would be to go to flyfishersinternational.org. That is our website, and just go to the tab that allows them to join as a member. But then there also are the tabs on education, conservation, all the things that we do, and they just click on those and go to the various opportunities and see what information is available in all areas of fly fishing.
That's great. So flyfishersinternational.org. Tom, it's been great to have you on Fly Fishing Journeys podcast. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Fly Fishing Journeys with your host, Rob Giannino. To be notified of new episodes, subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher and follow us on Facebook. And please like and share our podcast with your friends. For past episodes or to read our journal blog posts, check out flyfishingjourneys.com. Fly fishing is a journey, and we're glad you are on this journey with us.